Welcome back to Techonomics. I'm Jason Middleton. I pulled aside a wealth manager last week to help us unpack what is happening with the Federal Reserve. Central banks around the world are leading the economic charge with stimulus packages, low and even negative interest rates, basically just printing money to help the world economy recover from the Great Recession. And there's that whole British exit from the European Union, too. Now, with an utter lack of economic policy coming from the political process, and with the presidential election year, of course, the Fed can be the biggest maker of markets, both here and abroad. So, the Fed had its monthly meeting, and we needed some guidance on what went down. Earlier this week, we spoke with George Nocetti. He's a wealth manager and analyst at Morgan Stanley. Let's get rolling. Give me your name and title, please.
George Nocetti, wealth advisor at Morgan Stanley in Walnut Creek, California.
All right, George, let's not bury the lead here. The Fed is coming out of another meeting, and that usually tends to move the markets. I'm not seeing a lot of activity right now. What did you see coming out of that Fed meeting?
Well, I can sum it up in one word, and that word is ambiguous. It was a message of a dovish message and a hawkish message. On the dovish side, Janet Yellen said, near-term risks to the economic outlook have diminished. So that's code for we survived the Brexit. Theresa May, Parliament, you know, chief in the UK, is going to slow play Brexit. It's not going to happen this year. Probably going to be very, very diluted and delayed next year. We see that the European Union is stimulating their economy. So
about
all
damn
those
time.
So a lot of the, you know, China and places like that have those headwinds have kind of diminished. But on the other side, on a hawkish kind of tone, Janet said the committee continues to closely monitor inflation indicators and global economic and financial development. So that has to do with election uncertainty in the United States. That has to do with inflation being extremely low. I mean, if you look at last year when the Fed funds, you know, when they met in June of 2006, inflation was about 2.1% on track. And then shortly after that, in September of 2015, it dropped to 1.84. And then last December, it dropped to 1.72.
Right.
And in March of this year, it dropped to 1.54. And in July, the end of July here, it's dropping to 1.37. That's well below the target of 2+% for the Fed.
Right.
So from a hawkish point of view, they can't do anything. They're just going to closely monitor inflation. And, you know, again, we expect inflation to be about 1.6% by the end of the year.
Is that the new normal? I mean, is this just a slow growth recovery and that's just the way it's going to be for a while?
You said it. The key term is the new normal. And globally, nobody likes this. And this is creating bad behavior, volatility in the market. You saw in the United Kingdom, the people had a vote to leave the European Union. And all they really wanted to do really was to give the European Union a bloody nose.
Right.
But their vote knocked them out of the European Union. And I don't think they really wanted to do that because the European Union contributes about 50% of the GDP of the United Kingdom. That's a lot of revenue, the economic growth at risk.
Yeah.
And because of the uncertainty now, the political uncertainty, that's had a negative effect on Britain.
Well, let's keep looking at that Brexit because those numbers are still coming in. We had the first hard set of data earlier this week that showed that there's a 20% risk right now on the floor, on the street in London.
Yep.
And it just there's a great amount of concern on a Frexit. And maybe we go back to Grexit, too.
Right.
I mean,
it's just
everybody's looking to spin out of the EU. Is that sustainable?
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think it's more emotional because everybody wants growth in their economy, and it's hard for people to understand that we are in a low growth, you know, world economy. So if you try to price the Brexit and to see what that really looks like, you basically look at three metrics for doing that. You look at interest rates that are incredibly low in the United States, incredibly low in Europe. In fact, there are negative interest rates in Europe and Japan,
right,
and the UK. You look at currency rates, which our currency is getting stronger, which has a pro and a con. The sterling and the euro is getting lower, which isn't good. But then you have that one factor when you look at pricing in value into the markets. You look at political reaction. And right now there's a lot of emotional reaction. For example, if you're a UK company, should you increase your CapEx? In other words, should you put more money into buying more machines, property, and people? Well, there's been a slowdown in doing that just because of the political reaction, the emotional reaction. Whereas economically, trust me, nobody wants to slow down commerce anywhere, but it's the political reaction. So that's a baked in, you know, slowdown. CapEx projections in terms of the surveys we've looked at is actually gone down. And the recruitment of personnel, you look at the UK companies, their forecasts of hiring, the political ramifications of the Brexit caused them behaviorally to slow down on the hiring, even though we think economically there really shouldn't be any changes.
Let's unpack one thing. Let's call it a teachable moment. Let's talk about negative interest rates for me and help me understand
sure.
how those fit into the economy, why they're being implemented, and how they work.
Well, if you remember 2008, when the markets tanked, there was capital was frozen. There was a lack of liquidity. When there's not liquidity in the market, it slows down production and growth. So now fast forward, we lowered the cost of funds. That was in 2008, we lowered the cost of funds, and that was to stimulate the U.S. economy, which it did. We were losing millions of jobs, and now we've increased that. We're slow growth, but we're producing about 200,000 jobs a month,
right.
And that's because the source of funds is really low. The Fed fund rate, the overnight rate that banks charge each other for money is really, really low. On the European side, it's a negative rate. In other words, just by the European countries borrowing money from the European Union and just investing it, say, here in a treasury bill, they're going to be making money because they're not paying anything for these funds.
Okay, so would it be safe to say that a negative interest rate from a central bank is just an incentive for people to spend money or loan money?
It's a huge incentive for people to borrow money, which in turn helps to stimulate the economy. The negative side to that, it's false stimulation. Money is not free, but here money is being used free. And even in the U.S., you know, the discount rate is only about 25 basis points, 0.25%. So that's not reality. I mean, you know, all of us go back to the 80s when inflation was really high,
mm-hmm.
and to buy a home you had to pay over 10%.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, for interest on that. You know, now the rates are incredibly low. The banks are making money. Even when we're borrowing at 2 and 3%, the banks are making money on that. We are the only central bank, Jason, that is actually charging something for the borrowing.
Right.
If you go to Germany and you go to Japan, they have negative interest rates. We are the only ones that are more hawkish in that regard.
Now, even in this slow growth economy, globally speaking, the American economy is still the safest place to keep your money, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have the rule of law here, which is good. We have a $17 trillion economy, and most of that is just generated internally here in the U.S., our buying and selling here in the U.S. versus being totally dependent globally. So it has become a safe haven, but yet we still have our issues, right? We have, you know, a federal debt of over $17 trillion that has to be figured out and paid back. We have entitlements such as Social Security and Medicare, which are important, but what are costs? So we have some issues here. However, if we compare ourselves to the rest of the world, we're doing really well.
Okay. It just doesn't feel very well.
It doesn't feel well because we want to win, and we want to have a larger GDP. We want to get it 3.5%. We struggle to do that, and the feds have not been able to do it alone. And that's why with these elections coming up, we're going to be looking at what the tax policies are going to be. And right now we don't know. Because right now this election has turned into an emotional election versus a policy election.
Right.
And hopefully as we get closer to November, we're going to be able to understand and articulate what the impact is going to be for growth of business if these tax policies are going to be changing.
And I think you're really hammering on a really vital nail, and that is lack of policy and leadership from the political class, if you will, is not helping Wall Street. It's not helping you as a wealth manager. It's just it seems that everything is just kind of stuck. Now, if we could get some policy leadership, then well, maybe the Fed could move a little bit, and maybe we could get off of this reliance on central banks.
Exactly. We all want an answer today on what we can do to fix this. But it's not going to happen because we're in a political election right now. And so right now there's a lot of noise. But as we get closer to November, policies are going to get more specific. The cost and the benefit of those policies is going to become clear. And then who's ever elected is then going to be tasked with implementing those policies. And then they're going to be trying to get those policies through a Senate and a House.
Right.
And there are many Senate seats up right now that could change the direction of Republican or Democrat. The House will probably still remain on the Republican side, but the margin might close. It all depends on what's going to happen in November, and that's part of the indecision, again, that affects the marketplace. And we in the market, in terms of planning and financial planning for our clients, we don't like the indecision.
Right.
Because it's not clear what's going to happen right now.
We're speaking with George Nocetti. He's a wealth manager and analyst at Morgan Stanley. Let's pivot one more time back to the Fed here in the United States. Are you seeing any shift in the messaging coming out of the Fed? Are we leaning more towards Janet Yellen's dovish side, or are we leaning over towards John Robinson's more of the hawkish side?
Well, it's again, I think the theme for this, as I said earlier, is ambiguity. She had a hawkish message, a dovish message, and what she concluded with was, nevertheless, the consensus was that with gradual adjustments in the stance of monetary policy, economic activity will expand at a moderate pace. So what she's really saying is the economy is very stable. We are in positive job creation. We are in positive GDP, but it's not great. It's just okay. It's not enough to perhaps handle a rate increase in terms of the cost of funds. And so that's the area of indecision that we're in right now. But clearly, our interpretation is that the probability of a rate increase in December is only about 50%.
Wow.
And probably will not happen.
Okay.
And may not happen again even in 2017.
Wow.
Because the GDP is actually projected to be a little bit lower. So what we have to look forward to are really several things. Tomorrow, the second quarter GDP is going to be released. So we're expecting about a 2.2%, but we're going to find out tomorrow. That's really important. The core inflation numbers are going to come out August the 2nd. So we're going to find out if it's really going down or if it's increasing. The payroll reports in terms of jobs, the July job creation is going to come out August 5th, and we're projecting about 180,000 jobs. 100,000 is what you need to keep the economy, you know, where it is right now. So we got 80,000 more. It's not 200,000, it's not 300,000, but 180,000 is still pretty good. The retail sales report is going to come out August 12th. And then the FOMC is going to meet again, and their minutes are going to come out August 17th, so we're looking for that. But the big meeting coming up that we should all be looking for is Jackson Hole. And Jackson Hole is where the global financial people come, and they talk about the economy, and they give opinions and ideas. And Janet Yellen will be talking on August 26th, and we're going to see if there's any gas left in the tank. She's going to be talking about, you know, what can be done to stimulate the global and the U.S. economy. That'll be interesting.
But George, she skipped Jackson Hole last year. So what does it message, what does it signal when she's going this year?
I think she's trying to encourage, because she knows that our economy is affected by developing markets. It's affected by the U.K. And I think it's for the U.S. to have a presence there and for her to give a message of, you know, things are moving along positively, not great, and probably to encourage the other economies to stimulate business and to stimulate growth. But the U.S. is a player. I mean, we are the number one economy in the world. China is number two. And California is number five, so we're
right.
Or number six, rather. So we're, you know, we're in there also. So I think it's just to create, you know, some consistency. And that's why I think she'd be there. If she wasn't there, that would create another concern in the market.
All right. George, thanks for dropping some knowledge on us.
Okay. Always good talking to you.
That's George Nocetti. He's with Morgan Stanley. Bottom line, the new normal is slow and low growth around the world until we see a rise in inflation, which should come hand in hand with a rise in wages. Things are slow and steady moving forward. After this next short break, we'll look at the Bay Area Council and how it got more than 300 African Americans hired into tech jobs in one day. More Techonomics is just ahead.